Turn your Bibles to Colossians chapter 1, amen. Colossians chapter 1, we're going to raise up verses 16 and 17, and when you find it, if you could just stand up to reverence the word of God, if you're able to stand, if you would. Colossians chapter 1, verses 16 and 17. And again, remember, New Year's Eve, we have a great, great evening lined up for you. 9:30 starts our testimony service, amen. 10 p.m. we start promptly for the comedy show, and then we go into praise and worship and also the word of God, amen. Amen. So be here. And Saturday, of course, the women ministry has their 9 a.m. Grace Talks. Amen. If you would, Colossians chapter 1, verse 16 and 17 reads, "For in him all things were created, things in heaven and on earth, visible and invisible, whether thrones or powers or rulers or authorities, all things have been created through him and for him. He is before all things, and in him all things hold together." Amen. Lord, I ask for your grace and your power to reside upon me. Allow the word to go forth in the name of Jesus. We love you. We thank you. In the name of Jesus, amen. Amen. All right. First of all, we're in this series, Renew Your Mind. But I want to speak to you from the subject, Can You See? And I'm not saying, can you see? Can you see physically? Can you see spiritually? Our imagination is the part of our minds where we can visualize something that is not manifest in the physical world around us. We can imagine something based on a previous experience or acquired knowledge, such as if you see a horror movie and that puts a scary thought in your mind. Our imagination can also be a vision or revelation from God. If our minds are renewed with his word and we are following him, the Holy Spirit can communicate with us through our imagination. We have the ability to see by the Spirit things that do not yet exist, experiences we have not yet experienced, and ideas we have never encountered. The world believes that a person's imagination is the source of their individual creativity, the place of original thought. However, the Bible tells us that human beings were created to live in relationship with the Lord. He is our source, life, and all knowledge. Therefore, I'm going to use a regular mic because this is just doing it too much. Therefore, we have no original thought. We receive information and revelation from the Holy Spirit and God's word, or from the enemy. We either serve the Lord or we serve Satan. We make decisions based upon our spiritual relationship with God or our carnal natural connection with the enemy. The fact that we have no original thought offends the pride of people who don't know the Lord because they like to believe their ideas are their own. Most of them have no idea there is a devil and demons out there that are feeding them thoughts and images, programming their minds and influencing them to do what they want them to do. But everything we think causes our imaginations to be filled with ideas and mental images, but were put there either by the Holy Spirit or by the enemy. Ain't no gray areas. See, again, for in him all things were created, things in heaven and on earth, visible or invisible, whether thrones or powers or rulers or authorities, all things have been created through him and for him. He is before all things, and in him all things hold together. All things means all things. Whether you look in the Greek or the Hebrew or Swahili, all means all. Every creature and every molecule of the physical and spiritual realms was created by Jesus, but also every thought, idea, or mental image was created by him. All the enemy can do is take what Jesus created and pervert it, bend it, and distort it into something wicked and deceptive. The devil has no original thought. Only God is capable of original thought. I know what you're thinking. Well, Pastor, are you saying I'm just a robot that is programmed by God or the devil? No, but you are programmable. But your programming is subject to your will.
Remember, God gave you free will. You choose your programming. You decide what goes in and what is cast off in your imagination and your thought life. Drugs are one of the tools that the devil can use to access your mind. You understand? See, he's always looking for avenues to get in your mind. And you can hear arguments sometimes if you're really in tune with the spiritual realm. If someone slipped me something one time, I remember the spirit fussing in the midst of it saying, I would not be reprogrammed, because that spirit understands that it does not want to be programmed to the Holy Spirit. Because once I began to go through what I was going through, my friend began to play gospel music and it began to irritate the demonic spirit that was trying to take over my mind. But see, because in the midst of it, you got to understand, either you programmed by God or you programmed by the devil. See, but you got to fight to live a life in relationship with your Heavenly Father. This involves communication, intimacy, discussion, and mutual decision. You are not a robot. You are a son and a daughter of God, and you need to be willing to allow the Lord to program you. See, Proverbs 29:18 in the King James says, where there is no vision, the people perish. But he that keepeth the law, happy is he. See, the first part of the scripture is quoted all the time, but I want you to see and notice something. If you read the whole verse, vision and happiness are both linked directly to the word of God. Those who keep the law are happy. They are happy because they abide in God's word, which enlightens their minds and gives them vision for their lives. Then they can see where they are to go. You cannot go where you can't see. I tell you that. You can't go where you can't see. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego meditated in God's word day and night. That's why they had a steadfast faith that God would deliver them from Nebuchadnezzar's fiery furnace. And God did deliver them. However, if they had sat in front of their television sets all day and night, we might be reading a different story in the Bible today. See, television is something telling you its vision. You're receiving a vision for your life, and in most cases, it's probably not something from God. If you want to be able to live through the fiery furnaces of life, you better make sure that what you are seeing is the vision God has for your life. You know why I don't worry about the storms when they come? Because I know I'm in the midst of my vision. It says, all things happen for the good of those who are called according to his what? His purpose. So if I'm in my purpose, no matter what hell is coming against me, I'll be all right. The problem is you think storms won't come. The problem is you need to understand that the rain falls on the just and the unjust alike. The problem is, as long as I know that I'm on the right boat, I'm all right. Jonah, are you on the right boat? Are you going to Nineveh, or are you trying to go down to Joppa? If you're trying to go down to Joppa, the wind might blow a little too hard for your life. But if you're on the way to Nineveh where you're supposed to go, the storms will come, but you will be all right. Ain't no sense in me keeping this towel tight now since I ain't got the lapel mic. Joseph had a vision from God that came through dreams. A dream is another way in which God can impart vision in our lives. Genesis 37:5-9 in NIV says, Joseph had a dream, and when he told it to his brothers, they hated him all the more. He said to them, listen to this dream I had. We were binding sheaves of grain out in the field when suddenly my sheaf rose and stood upright while your sheaves gathered around mine and bowed down to it. His brother said to him, do you intend to reign over us? Will you actually rule us? And they hated him all the more because of his dream and what he had said. Then he had another dream. And he told it to his brothers. Listen, he said. And at this time, the sun and the moon and 11 stars were bowing down to me. First of all, can I just take this disclaimer? Joseph was young and he talked too much. You can't tell everybody your dream in the embryonic stages of your dream. When you tell your dream too early, it'll get messed up. That's why Nehemiah That's why Nehemiah couldn't keep telling. He didn't want to tell the vision to everybody. He wanted to tell a few people after he got the vision down himself. Then he began to tell the vision of the people. Why? Because you can't tell everybody something all the time. You got to wait. Though the dream, though, that God painted a vivid picture on Joseph's mind that one day his family and nation would bow down to him, when he shared these dreams with his family, Joseph began a journey of ups and downs, defeat and victory, until finally the word of the Lord was fulfilled in his life. Even though Joseph went through a whole series of terrible trials and unjust circumstances, he remembered where he was going and never stopped believing. He chose to believe what God had imprinted in his mind as a boy, that he believed it would come to pass. He chose that vision, that dream, again and again until it finally came to pass. What has God promised you that you letting the wind blow out of your mind? What has God promised you that you letting somebody in the next cubicle talk you out of walking into? Stop letting the storms blow you out of position of what God has for you. It's going to be some setbacks. It's going to be some ups and downs. But as long as you keep walking and faint not, you shall win. Joseph understood he would go to the place if he could see it, he could make it. God also imparts vision through the natural creation around us. This is how he showed Abram the land he was given, he had given him and his descendants. Look at this. Genesis 13, 14 and 15 says, the Lord said to Abram, after Lot had parted from him, look around from where you are, to the north and the south, to the east and the west. All the land that you see, I will give to you and your offspring forever. I didn't say this at 8 o'clock, but I just saw something right there, even more so. It said after Lot had departed from him. God had already told Abram to get away from your family and don't take nobody with you, but he said Lot went with him. But so God didn't speak to him till he left. Some of y'all got some folk in y'all life you need to put away from you so you can hear what thus says the Lord, because you can't hear with a whole bunch of idle chatter around you that's not speaking what God is speaking to you. Stop hanging around doubters. Stop hanging around people that keep telling you what you can and cannot do, because God cannot speak to you. In fact, he's probably speaking to you, but you can't hear as long as somebody talking to you. Has somebody ever caught you trying to watch a movie and they keep asking you what happened and you like, shut up, I don't know what's happening because you keep talking to me. If you shut up, I can hear what's going on. Well, if you that personal about a movie, can you just tell people to shut up around you when you trying to hear what thus says the Lord? If you get all mad because you're trying to see Denzel, if you getting all mad because you're trying to see Whoopi Goldberg, if you're trying to get all mad because you're trying to see Jolina Ali and all these other people, if you can just get that upset when people around you are talking about things contrary to what God is telling you to do, tell them to shut up and put them out your house. You better ask Abraham what he had to do. Sarah said you better put out the bondwoman and her child if you're gonna get some more in here. You gotta learn how to put some people away from you and out of your life so God can bring to pass what he wanted to bring to pass. God said, somebody got the revelation. God said to Abraham, basically, if you can see it, you can have it. He didn't mean just what he saw with the natural eye. He was talking about what he saw with the spiritual eyes. If we can see it in the spirit, what the word of God promises us, and our minds grab hold of the God-given image, we can have it. What we are talking about is divine revelation and vision that brings forth our destiny. Look at Genesis 11, 1 through 6. It says, now the whole world had one language and a common speech. As people moved eastward, they found a plain in Shinar and settled there. They said to each other, come, let us make bricks and bake them thoroughly. They used brick instead of stone and tar for mortar. Then they said, come, let us build ourselves a city with a tower that reaches to the heavens so that we may make a name for ourselves. Otherwise, we will be scattered over the face of the whole earth. But the Lord came down to the city to see what was going on and the tower the people were building, the Lord said, if as one people speaking the same language they have begun to do this, then nothing they plan to do will be impossible, or nothing they imagine to do will be impossible. See, these people did not worship and serve God, so he stopped them from completing their tower by confusing their language and scattering them throughout the earth. However, we can see their imaginations were extremely powerful. What their minds could conceive, they could have. This is true with unbelievers as well as believers, because it's the way God created human beings. You keep getting mad because worldly people walking around more paid and more successful than you is because they're using the imagination God gave them and you're not using yours. See, God, once he set his principles in place, is more blessed to give than to receive. And things like that, they work for the believers and the non-believers. If you look at and read all these self-help books, only thing they're doing is taking it from the Bible. You do realize is that right? And some of them make enough sense, they put the source as their Bible, because they say there's great philosophies in there. It's not a philosophy. It's the word of God and what he put together, and it's the principles he put out there. So why in the world are you letting non-believers benefit from your God more than you? Got quiet. Sorry for your toes. I do apologize. But in order to prove God's will, we want to be certain that our imaginations are stimulated by him alone. In the following story, we see again how God used his creation to implant his vision for Abram in Abram's imagination. Genesis 15, 1 through 6 says, after this, the word of the Lord came to Abram in a vision. Do not be afraid, Abram. I am your shield, your very great reward. But Abram said, Sovereign Lord, what can you give me since I remain childless, and the one who will inherit my estate is Eleazar of Damascus? And Abram said, you have given me no children, so a servant in my household will be my heir. Kept it real with God, didn't it? Then the word of the Lord came to him, this man will not be your heir, but a son who is your own flesh and blood will be your heir. He took him outside and said, look up at the sky and count the stars, if indeed you can count them. Then he said to him, so shall your offspring be, Abram. And Abram believed in the Lord, and he credited to him as righteousness. See, what did God do to stimulate Abram's imagination? He brought him outside and told him to count the stars. Abram responded by saying, there are too many for me to count. God answered, that's how many kids you're going to have. From that moment on, Abram saw more than stars in the sky. Every night he looked toward the heavens and saw his future, his divine destiny. He saw it. He believed it. He moved toward it. And therefore, he eventually saw it come to pass. And another thing God did for him, he changed his name from Abram to Abraham. He changed Sarai's name from Sarah to Sarah. Why? Because Abraham's means father of many nations, and Sarah means mother of princes and kings. You got to start aligning yourself with people that call you what God calls you, and not what you call yourself, and not what the world calls you. You got to hang around some people that'll call you Abraham even though you barren. You got to let somebody know that'll call you Sarah even though your womb is closed up. It doesn't matter what it looks like out here, God can make a way out of no way. You just gotta open up your mind and let God put his divine revelation in your soul. One of the things I want you to notice here is that when you receive revelation, vision, and imagination from God, they are always big. In fact, they will always be too big and too impossible for you to accomplish in your own abilities and strength. But God knows what you can handle, and he gives you his word so that you can handle the rest by having faith in him. See, it's always big. Some of you all can't stomach the vision of God in this church because it's too big sometimes for you. But God doesn't do little things. See, if you really know me and close to me, you will realize I get totally upset about little stuff. Because I expect you to be able to handle little stuff. Why is little stuff even messed up? And y'all be like, how in the world he handled the big stuff? Because the little stuff shouldn't even go wrong. I pay you to handle little stuff. Handle it. What you bringing it to me for? I hire you to handle little stuff that I don't want to deal with. Stop bringing the little stuff to me or I can do it myself. I hate handling little stuff. Why? Because I'm wired to my Father. God said I would do exceedingly abundantly above what you can ask, think, or imagine. God is not into doing little things. You know why you can't do what God wants you to do? Because your mind is too little, and you need to stop trying to limit yourself and your abilities to your
God don't do little stuff, and neither do I. That's what you need to start. Why? I don't do little stuff no more. That's why you got secretaries. That's why you got folk under you. That's why you got folk that can handle the little stuff for you so your mind can be focused on the big stuff. God don't do little stuff. He does exceedingly abundantly above whatever work in you. And so the thing about it is, some of you are not successful because you're not using all of your gifts. That's why I need you to do your spiritual gifts assessment, because he said once he knows that you've done all you can do, then he'll put his supernatural on you. But he's not going to put on you before that you exhausted and you're wondering why so-and-so down the street may not be as gifted as you, but they're more blessed than you. It's because they've done all they could do, and then God put his supernatural on top of them because he exhausted everything they could do. See, you can't think big enough for God. He wants to stimulate your imagination more than you ever could in your lifetime. You are hooked up with a God who wants to do great and mighty works through you. But he's got to get you to see it and believe it so you can do it. He has to impart his vision to your imagination so that you can have everything he wants you to have. And he does that primarily through his word. As you renew your mind and meditate on it, he also gives you visions, dreams, and speaks through his natural material creation. Then as you meditate and renew your mind with his promises, you can move forward to possess them. See, when you're born again, your potential is no longer limited to yourself. Your potential is in God. See, your potential goes beyond your natural abilities and gifts into his supernatural authority and power. However, until you were saved, you were programmed to believe you had natural limitations and boundaries. By your silence, I need to break that programming still. When you weren't saved, say it one more time, you were programmed to believe you had natural limitations and boundaries. You believe you could only do what you can naturally think and do. But when God puts in your heart to do something impossible, if you still believe you are limited to your natural abilities and gifts, you are back up. But I got news for you. God will never call you to do something you are entirely incapable of doing, but he will enable you to do it supernaturally. There was... Stop limiting yourself with your mind. It's not your mind. Get it done. Can I tell you something? How does a TV work? How does a remote work when you hit the remote? How does it come on? What's all the wiring in your car when you turn it on? How does all that stuff work? You don't know. But you drive your car. You drive your car in ignorance every day. You don't know how in the world the carburetor, all that stuff. You don't know how that stuff works. You don't know what the spark plug's actually doing. And even if you know, you don't know how all of it working together. Huh? How you know? You wear it all the time. Some of us wear hair. We don't know where it came from. We don't care. But we walk in it. We don't even know who hair it is. But we don't care. Well, I'm just trying to make a point. Who cares? Who cares how a car works? As long as when I turn the key, it come on. I don't care how God gets me a blessing. I just know he gonna give it to me when I stop limiting my abilities to my own mind. I don't care how he do it. Stop trying to figure out how he do it. If you still don't know how your car works, shut up when God take you to do something and just do it and stop worrying about how he going to bring it to pass. Look here. Let me read this, because there ain't no better example than this story right here.
Numbers 13, 25 through 30 says, at the end of 40 days, they returned from exploring the land. They came back to Moses and Aaron and the whole Israelite community at Kadesh in the desert of Paran. There they reported to them and to the whole assembly and showed them the fruit of the land. They gave Moses this account. We went into the land to which you sent us, and it does flow with milk and honey. There, here is the fruit. But the people who live there are powerful, and the cities are fortified and very large. We even saw the descendants of Anak there. The Amalekites live in the Negev. The Hittites, Jebusites, and Amorites live in the hill country, and the Canaanites live near the sea and along the Jordan. Then Caleb said, shut up, and said to Moses, we should go up and take possession of the land, for we can certainly do it. Of the 12 spies, only Joshua and Caleb came back and said, let's go right now and possess what God has already given us. We can do it because he said we could do it. This is the kind of leadership God always looks for. The world would say, you win some, you lose some. But God said, you will always triumph if you walk in Jesus' name. Our victory is already won because Jesus has already won it for us. Every battle you fight, you will win if you keep your mind renewed with the truth of God's word. But pastor, you don't know how much opposition I'm facing. There are giants. If there are giants, then God has given you the means of defeating them. He has put his spirit and word inside of you, and you know you are supposed to fight and win the battle. You know you are supposed to be a winner and not a quitter. You have an inheritance in Jesus Christ to possess, so go get it. If the children of Israel had lined up their imaginations and thought like God. See, this is the whole problem with church folk. We see stuff. See, you know what I be looking at? The giants, they looking at the giants. First of all, you stole the fruit, so apparently you got some type of success in spying. You done came back with the fruit, so you done something. You didn't even know you did it. And the thing about it is, what they should have done, Brother Rick, was this. I know the giants are there, but I ain't got to build it. The giants already prepared the land for you. They already tilled the ground for you. They already got everything fruitful for you. You will have houses that you don't build. Come on, somebody. If the wealth of the wicked is laid up for the righteous, when God tell me to go take it from them, I'm going to get it. They already built the house. I remember I was sitting in a church conference, and God said, don't build a building. I got one for you. And I said, okay, we're not going to build. I told the trustees, hey, man, don't send no money to the architects because you know what? We're going to go and we're going to build. We're not going to build because God got a house for us. And God showed me this house, and they only wanted to sell two buildings, but I wanted all three. And God said, it's yours. Then nobody believed me, so I ain't take nobody with me. But then I took Trustee Shaw. And at the end of the day, we got this building, and we got all the buildings on the land. Why? Because God said they already built it for you. Yeah, it used to be a theater, but somebody done already gutted it out for you. Yeah, you might need to put some LED screen and some lights up, but they done most of the work. I told you that building is yours. I done gave them another building. This your building. So I said, I'm just going to sit here and wait. And a few months later, they called and said, God has told us to release this building to you. Why? Because God would give you houses that you have not built, but you got to walk in it and possess the land. The problem is you think all you got to do is pray. No, baby, you got to watch and pray. Faith without works is dead. They already have built the house for them. They had already put it together. I need somebody to understand that you're about to get some caught off guard blessings. You about to get some blessings that have been manufactured for you that just fall in your lap. You about to get some oil in your life, just like the lady that prayed and Elijah told her to just get some pots and collect them, and the oil just kept running. There's some oil in your life. There's an anointing on you that you ain't even been using to make money. Some of y'all can cook. You about to make money like Betty Crocker.
rocker, baby. Some of y'all can sing. Oh, you're about to have some albums and some songs coming out. You got to walk in the glory God has given you. He's already defeated the enemy for you. You just got to walk in it. I refuse to go into 2020 and keep giving you milk. I done gave y'all milk for 8 years because every time I try to give you meat, you don't want it. But you know what? If you don't want meat in 2020, you gonna choke. You gonna choke. Why? Because I want you to go somewhere else. I need you to stop limiting yourself with your finite mind. God would do exceedingly abundantly above whatever you can ask, think, or imagine if you walk in his glory and his will.
You got to walk in it. They brought, let me just read this and get out of here. Stop limiting yourself with your potential and expand yourself with God's potential. Greater is he who is in you than he who is in the world. While you keep saying it, if you don't believe who is in you, it's bigger. Greater is he who is in you than he who is in the world. God lives in you in the form of the Holy Spirit, which means you're bigger than every problem you got because God himself lives in you. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, your rod and your staff shall comfort me. You say it all the time, yet you keep worrying about your enemies. Why were they worried about the enemy? Some of y'all letting, y'all see, y'all keep talking about, yeah, I would have went in there and possessed the land, but some of y'all ain't even possessing the cubicle you in. Some of y'all let the person in the next cubicle run you out of your job and don't even write your check. I ain't gonna even let the person that write my check run me out of job. You know why? Because if God meant me to be there, he'll cause them to get promoted. He'll cause them to get demoted. He'll send them somewhere else. He'll fire them because my gift shall make room for me. When I walk into an organization and they don't like me, I don't care. Write all the notes on me you want. Talk about me. Call the police on me. Lie on me. I don't care. I shall win because some of y'all keep on letting people run you out your blessing because you keep thinking if it's God's will, you won't have a fight. If it wasn't a fight, everybody would be blessed. He said you will receive 100-fold in this lifetime with what? Persecutions, which means you're going to have some haters in your life. You're going to have some obstacles in your life. Some people are not going to want to give it to you, but you got to connect your mind with Christ and let it renew your mind. Let you be in Christ Jesus so you can be a new creature. A creature that don't worry about enemies. People in here are trying to get rid of me. I don't care. Because truth be told, if you ain't got no enemies, you ain't blessed. Nobody hate on nobody who ain't got nothing. You ain't never seen nobody say, man, that homeless man, thank you all that. Man, whatever, man. Thank you all that. Nobody hate on nobody who doing worse than them. See, you all get upset at your job when people attack you. You need to go ahead and call it an honor to be persecuted because apparently they want something in your life that you don't even see that you have. They jealous of you, and they know you're going somewhere that they're not. Have you ever been there? Hey, man, I hate sometimes going through the toll booths because they look so sad because everybody going somewhere but them. You pay them their money. Sometimes they be going, sometimes, ever been there, somebody want to know where you going? Where you going? I'm going. And they be looking so sad. Everybody going through somewhere but them. Can I tell you something? Sometimes in your life, at your job, in your blessing, you run into some toll booth collectors. Some people that ain't going nowhere in life, and they trying to ensure you don't go. Pay your toll, let them jokers talk all they want, pray and get them to God, go on and keep walking it out and understand this is just my blessing that I'm getting with persecution. Pay your toll and let them talk all the mess they want. Because you're going somewhere. Let me get out of here. Shut up. This is a message. crazy. You heard him. Oh, Jesus. Oh, God. Let me get out of here. We're going to edit that one. Let me get out of here. Oh, Jesus. I'm ready to get out of here. Numbers 13, 31 through 33 says, but the men who had gone up with him said, we can't attack those people. They are stronger than we are. And they spread among the Israelites a bad report about the land they had explored. They said, the land we explored devours those living in it. All the people we saw were of a great size. We saw the Nephilim. There were the sinners of Anak come. And we seemed like grasshoppers in our own eyes. And we looked at the same to them. The other 10 spies brought back an evil report. They measured their lives by their natural abilities instead of God's word and power. They saw themselves as grasshoppers, and God called that evil. Let's remember that God is bigger than our problems, bigger than our circumstances. Greater is he who is in us than he who is in the world. I don't care what you're going through. What if Dr. King would have thought his dream wasn't going to come true? We'd still be on the back of the bus. You got to hang around some people that'll say, you know what, if God showed it to me, it shall come to pass. Stop trying to get reports from everybody. I'm going to end with this right here. Some of y'all keep on looking for people to tell you all and give you permission to do your vision. Now, if you're trying to do your vision in here, you better run it by me. But your vision in your own life, that's on you. Stop letting people dictate to you what they think you can and can't do. In fact, you can't do what God asked you to do, no how. Because God asked you to do something you cannot do in your own abilities, to make sure you understand that it's not you. You know why God makes you do stuff way bigger than yourself? He makes you do that so everybody around you will know it's not you, and so you will know it's not you too. Because God says you will not steal my glory. I called you to do something that's way bigger than you. You know why God had me studying education and doing everything and finally sent me to seminary school? Because when I got here, he wanted me to know ain't no way in the world I was able to do anything without God. I don't have a dad that's a preacher. My granddad is not a preacher. I didn't have nobody to groom me and help me with the pastorship. Everything I did because I ain't know that I wasn't supposed to do it. Pastor would always come to me, you know, you ain't talk. Brother Tad, they'd be like, you know what? You ain't talk to Pastor so-and-so and get permission from him to be able to do this ministry. I'm like, so that's Godfathers in ministry too? For real. Like, they would actually tell me I was supposed to get permission from somebody. But I didn't know the rules. So I just broke them. I'm glad I didn't come up in all that, because I wouldn't have known. I would have never been able to do half the stuff we do. You know what they told us? You can't do In Touch. It's too big. You can't do the whole city. I said, if you do your sheriff thing, and you do your chief thing, and you do your boys and girls thing, and you do your camp thing, and you do your community thing, and you do your mayor thing, if everybody handle their own little part, you let me worry about the big vision, because I serve a God that don't like doing small things. But if you favor over a few things, he'll make you ruler over many things. So if all of y'all do y'all little small things, I'll take the vision of God and put it together, and everything will happen, and we'll take this city by storm. I ain't know the rules. I ain't know I was supposed to call the bishop and ask him what I could do when I'm at an autonomous Baptist church. I ain't know the rules. I ain't no rules. That's what they need to understand. When you begin to go by man's rules, they begin to make you not be a real boy. I don't want to be Pinocchio. I want to have a real vision from God. The only puppet master I want is God himself. I don't want anybody pulling my strings but God. I walk when God say walk. I move when God say move. But I don't want to do anything you telling me to do. I do what thus says the Lord. And that's the only rule you need in your life. But the only way you can do it, if you start renewing your mind and aligning your mind with God's and stop trying to make him align with you. Some of y'all been trying to make God bless you a certain way, just like the Israelites were saying they ain't want to take that land. God will cause your enemy to give you a blessing if you let him. You know what? Somebody came here the other day, I ain't seen no one, so I'm going to ask him for a check. You know what? You seem like you want to be here. Send a check. because it don't matter. You got to understand that the weather of the wicked later for the righteous, and it don't matter to be wicked, you just say the people of the world, the people that don't go to your church, the people that's not in relationship with you, God will cause them to give to you, but I need you to walk in this. I need you to get this. I need you to get this. I need you to get this and understand this. God wants you to be blessed. He wants you to be the head and not the tail, above and not beneath, the lender and not the borrower. He wants to give you a good measure of blessing, pressed down, shaken together, and running over. He wants you blessed in your coming and blessed in your going. He wants you to be blessed in the valley and blessed in the field. If he wants you to be out this walking, he came to give you life and to give it to you more abundantly. I need you to understand this walking into 2020. I need you to understand, leave all this poverty mind stuff alone. God wants you to be blessed abundantly. Why? Because he's not satisfied with blessing you. He wants to make you a blessing. He wants to give you an overflowing blessing so you can be able to help somebody else and not just yourself. He don't give you all that blessing just to buy a new car, although you can buy one. But he wants to give you an overflow so you can bless somebody else. Right now, I'm believing God right now in the name of Jesus. Lord, the spirit of wealth fall in the midst of this house. The spirit of healing, the spirit of success, the spirit of prosperity fall on each and every individual in this house right now that believes that you will want them to be prosperous, that understand that you came to give them life and to give it more abundantly. We love you in the name of Jesus, we pray. Amen. Is there one, hallelujah, that wants to accept Jesus Christ right now? 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, or 9. That wants to accept Jesus.